What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Wolfpack Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm your host, Dylan Clemens. Here with me, as always, are my two co-hosts, Michael Plant and Mike Bonney. What's up, fellas?
What up?
Hanging in there, like always, but I'm ready to talk fantasy football with my buddies.
You guys catch up on your sleep, and hopefully you're not hungover anymore from the Fantasy Football Expo, or...
Didn't catch up on sleep, but I'm not hungover.
That's good.
Definitely caught up on sleep, and I'm not hungover.
Good. Are we drinking tonight still?
Yes.
Yes, I had to bring some of the alcohol I exchanged with at the expo with John Bosch, the one who runs the FCE Eliminators for Scott Fishbowl. And he traded me a blackberry tart ale with sea salt. It's from Mad Tree Brewing.
Wow, that's actually pretty good. I was gonna say, that sounds absolutely wild.
Is it good?
It's solid,
it is pretty solid.
The sea salt probably is weird, but
no, it adds a nice aftertaste.
I bet
it's that tart aftertaste.
Weird. I literally only drink like the Budweiser, Bud Light, so I have no idea what those other ones taste like.
Sometimes it's cool to branch out, man.
Same here. I'm not really an ale or a lager guy. Like my comfort zone stops at Spotted Cow. But I happen to bring a lot of Spotted Cow to the expo, and apparently there's a cult following for it. And, you know, I got a lot of beer exchanged, including with AJ. He got me some pretty good beers. I'm not drinking it right now, but this is the other one. It's got some cool can art.
Heck yeah. But yeah,
where do they get all the cool can art? Like, we don't have any of that shit.
I know. I don't understand it.
But shout out to Bob Lug for running the Fantasy Football Expo. It's an absolute blast every year. I know I contemplated on going every year, but I don't regret it when it's over and done with. It's an absolute awesome time, and it's just a big giant party with a bunch of the fantasy football analysts, man. Like Marcus Grant was there.
It's not just analysts. It's like we encourage, you know, everybody, fans, you know, anybody who loves fantasy football, go to it. I mean, like Dylan said, I mean, there are some people there that you will recognize right on the spot, like Marcus Grant. And you're going to actually get the opportunity to talk fantasy football with him. It's pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, for real. But anyways, guys, today we are going to go over some training camp news with you. And then we're going to talk about some boom or bust players. We're going to go round by round, and Mike and Ike are each going to have one boom player and one bust player that you could select in rounds 1 through 8. But before we get started, please check out the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel. Please smash the like button and please subscribe. We appreciate it. And then head on over to fantasysixpack.net/plans and use the promo code F6P early for 25% off the first 100 members while supplies last. Guys, and you get access to our award-winning rankings, a whole bunch of content that goes up behind there, Q&As, and come join us in the Discord so you can talk fantasy football with our whole writing staff. It's a good time in there. And Micah Plants got his own little thing going with the NFL updates. Like anytime he sees something on Twitter, he pops in there and throws an update in there. So you'll always be up to date on your.
Yeah, you won't be able to slide anything past him. I tried. He's like, so you didn't see my update in the channel? No, I didn't. But
there are no small reports, only small reporters.
That's a good motto, man. No way you thought of that yourself.
I feel like
completely. I credit Adam Schefter for it. I remember hearing it from him when he was breaking a bunch of the NFL offseason news.
I was going to say,
it was a great quote. Whoa. I'm not smart enough for that, but I'm not dumb either.
I didn't say that.
It just stuck with me. So I figured, you know, help the people out.
For sure. And then before we move on, once again, I just want to remind you guys that this episode of the Fantasy Football. Wow.
You're having a good time, man.
Wolfpack, I think he's still hungover.
He might be the one.
That's what I'm going with. Apparently I haven't caught up to my sleep. But it's brought to you by the American Rads Facebook group, guys. Just I've been preaching it for weeks now. Just go out over there and check out the sports memorabilia raffles they got going on. There's some good stuff over there. But yeah, I'm going to go ahead and we're going to jump into our first part of training camp news. First thing we got right now is Alvin Kamara suspension likely to be in 2023. How does this affect your guys' rankings with that news? How far did you bump Kamara up? Because right now he is going at the 205 at ADP. And that seems like he's fallen.
Well, he should probably be at late first.
He was going later, earlier in the, you know, drafts. Now, granted, those were mostly best balls. But, yeah, he was going late second round, and he's actually kind of moved on up with this news of at least not receiving the suspension until next year. So it makes him an early second round, late first round pick. It's just there's a clear top five or six, you know, running backs, and then you have your top three wide receivers. So, I mean, if you got five, six running backs, you know, three wide receivers, you're at like eight, nine picks. So, like, at the end of the first round, early second.
Yep. Ike, where are you drafting Kamara at? Are you willing to take him at the end of the first round?
Definitely. I know people might be scared that Jameis is the quarterback now, but he did just fine with him last year, so I'm not worried at all. And now that he's not going to get suspended, or more than likely, oof. Mm-hmm. Great pick in the second round.
We were only scared when Taysom Hill was out there with him. Mm-hmm.
And that ain't happening this year.
No, he'll be a tight end.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do just want to let you guys know I would temper expectations a little bit because Alvin Kamara is never going to see – what did he catch in those back-to-back years with Drew Brees? Was it 90 balls he caught? Or is it 90 targets or something wild like that?
But he doesn't need that because last year he still finished RB8.
Right. He's a touchdown scorer, man. That's
which he still only had like five touchdowns last year. Mm-hmm.
He's not necessarily a touchdown scorer. He's an efficiency king.
Yeah.
Like he was always really good, you know, 4+ yards a carry, you know, about 7-8 yards of reception. Like he was just very valuable with all of his touches and he got a decent amount of touches.
Which he will.
And then sometimes he'll just throw in a 4 or 5 touchdown game in your fantasy playoffs. Yep.
It was insane what that did.
It was like a that year. Seven, right?
It was seven touchdowns, and it just vaulted his ranking to stupid high.
Yeah, when yes.
Number one.
I just meant overall for that year. It like just
yeah, no, it vaulted him all the way to number one.
Yeah, it inflated him for the rest of that year to make you know everyone think it's kind of like Joey Burrow last year, like those last two games to end the season, like. You got to temper those expectations just because of those couple big games.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Next piece of news we got is, guys, Zach Wilson took a tumble on Friday night's game. And for a second there, everyone thought that he had torn his ACL. But it looks like he's going to be okay, and it's possible for him to be ready for week one. Apparently, they trimmed his meniscus. That was only a meniscus problem. He's out like 2 to 5 weeks, I saw, which puts him right around week one. Is this changing anything for the Jets' weapons?
I saw something, an update where Joe Flacco is a likely starter for week one, just to play it on the safe side for Zach Wilson. If he does need that extra week, because this is the franchise quarterback, guys. We don't want to get him injured. You know, we got lucky.
Yeah, they did.
All right. They got lucky. We all got lucky as a fantasy community because otherwise, man, we'd be relying on Joe Flacco for the rest of the year.
I mean, Flacco might be better than Zach Wilson. We don't really know.
It's maybe. It's possible. It's possible, but really this offense flourished mainly when Mike White and Josh Johnson we're running the helm. And Joe Flacco just
a little bit too. Yeah.
Yeah, he did, but he was the worst out of, I mean, not the worst. He was the third best out of all four. He was better than Wilson, but still worse than Johnson and Mike White.
Yep.
Agreed.
Sure. Next piece of news we got Antonio Gibson, man. It hasn't been a very good offseason for him ever since JD McKissick signed. He fumbles in the first preseason game, and we know he's got issues doing that already. and Robinson gets a red zone touchdown. Are we already seeing in the future, Ike, is this how things are going to be? Is Robinson going to eventually take just the backfield over in general besides passing down work? Like, is this Gibson's job to lose? Or, sorry, has Gibson already losing this job to Brian Robinson?
They're putting him on the punt team last I saw, so...
And I saw him lining up in the slot as a receiver. I don't love that for his fantasy value. If he's still getting 10 to 12 carries and lining up in the slot, sure. But if he's just going to be the slot receiver, I don't love that because you already
exactly
got Moore and you got Dotson.
Obviously, we're going to be ripping on him later because he might be the worst round, whatever, I think it's 2 or 3 pick ever.
No, it's not that early, but I think it's...
What is it?
Yeah, it's round 4. Yeah, it's pretty sketchy, and he's going in an area where... Like, he's going ahead of A.J. Dillon and stuff. You already know how I feel
about it. Yeah, that's disgusting.
LaPlan, anything to add on Antonio Gibson? Are you fading him completely now in drafts?
I'm not fading him completely because there is a fine line where there's just too much value to let a guy slip any further. Like Joe has reiterated, like, he hates Amari Cooper, but, man, he drafted him this year because it was just stupid value. I mean, if you're running one of these – quote-unquote zero RB builds like Dylan's so comfortable running this year, I think he's a good target in that range. I know you like Dylan over him, but, I mean, yes, if he can just hold on to the ball, because we got to remember, guys, he's a converted running back from wide receiver, all right? There should be fumbling problems. I would be shocked if there wasn't. This guy would be an animal. But if he can just hold on to the ball, he's finished as a running back 1 the past 2 years he's been in the league. It's just a matter of him holding on to the ball, and he can do it.
There's also just there's a lot going against
him. It's a lot of variation.
He had a lot of volume, LaPlante. Like, I don't have
his yards per carry were under 4. Yep. Not good.
He's got a solid offensive line. They got better weapons now, to where they can't just load the box every time. Now, JD McKissick obviously eats into his value, and you're looking at Brian Robinson to eat into his value on the goal line a little bit. But Antonio Gibson is a big play guy. If he can break off some plays, he can still bring you value. He doesn't need to be the full red zone guy or the full PPR guy. He just needs to get his value. The talent is there. It's about opportunity at that
point. Ain't nothing but a flex option to me.
Like I said, if you're running a zero RB build, he's a good target. If you want to load up, you know, on wide receivers and that tight end early rounds.
I'd rather have Tony Pollard.
Like Mike, last year he finished as
wide receiver, running back 12, I'm pretty sure, or 11.
And he had the 4th most carries in the NFL with 258. I don't know that I...
Volume.
I don't know if there's any way we're going to see that again. Maybe he sees 220, 215, you know, 210 carries. I don't love it.
I understand that concern. I do. Look at the Colts last year. They thought they were going to throw it a lot more with Carson Wentz. What ended up happening? They handed the ball off a hell of a lot because Carson Wentz couldn't throw the ball and make good decisions. So, I mean, it's an outcome that you could see here in Washington.
Okay.
Well, that's all I'm saying. It's in the realm of outcomes.
Taylor didn't have a newly drafted running back behind him and a newly signed. Well, I mean, Hines, I think, was newly signed.
You're talking Brian Robinson like he's got first or second round talent. He was drafted in the 4th round.
The Commanders are treating him like it, not me.
I'm just going
off what they're doing.
Name a running back that's had 4th round draft capital that's come to fruition in his rookie year.
Elijah Mitchell. He was drafted in the 5th round, by the way.
Yeah, Kyle Shanahan, different scheme, an anomaly. when you get schemes like Shanahan and McVay, things can happen like that.
I think David Montgomery was a 3rd round pick, wasn't he, Ike? I think.
But did he finish as, you know, RB2?
Close.
In his rookie year. It was close.
But we will move on.
Yes.
But we pretty much covered Ike's round 4 bust, so we could just
pretty much
over that when we get there. But we got a pair of wide receiver dudes here, guys. Michael Thomas looks to be ready for the season opener. He was practicing full pads today against the it was a joint practice against the Packers. So I saw that he was going up against Jair Alexander.
Ooh.
made a catch on him. Like, it was a 5 yard in route. Shocker. It wasn't a slant, but
don't say shocker. It wasn't a slant.
a little short route. But the other thing is, excuse me, Chris Godwin is trending towards playing in the opener too, which is a little bit of a shocker. Boom. Man. Didn't quite expect that. I want to start there. We'll save Michael Thomas for later in the show, I'm sure. But Chris Godwin, if he's ready for day one, does that pretty much just put the kibosh on Russell Gage? And how badly does that hurt Mike Evans? Ike, let's start with you.
Yeah, Gage would be pretty much non-existent because Julio would be there too as well. And I think it would. And I think Evans would be hurt a little bit, but not as much as people would think. I still think Evans is wide receiver one.
It's his yearly hamstring thing, man.
Yeah.
He's always dealing with it.
He'll be fine. He'll
get his yearly 1,000 yards.
Yep.
No, I mean, yes, this is positive news for Chris Godwin. I'm still not on the boat. He's playing week one. It was still a late season injury. Like, Chris Godwin is human, just like me, you, and Dylan.
I would come back from that in 5 months.
I've seen this guy, man. He's a freak.
I'm not gonna discredit your healing ability. But I'm tempering my expectations on it. Yes, I'm rising him a little bit in my ranks, you know, a couple slots. But it's still not a full go for week one. 7-on-7s is not 11-on-11, and it's also not preseason action. He also, yes, I get it. He's had, you know, a year with Brady already, or 2 years with Brady already, but you still need to get a little, you know, get back into the rhythm of things in training camp and preseason. He hasn't done that with Brady yet. It's been the backups. And you know Brady, he's thrown to people he trusts. So that it's just tempering expectations. That's all.
Yeah, all right. I hear you. And then the last bit of news that we got, a little bit of conflicting reports, is a little goofy. Not gonna lie, Ken. We got a report that said Ken Walker could see a bigger workload than we expect. He could see as many carries as Rashad Penny, which was good news to see if you're a Ken Walker
some bullshit
owner. But then we also heard from Pete Carroll that Ken Walker is dealing with some hernia thing or something like that. Which,
quote for quote,
pretty much
some hernia thing.
Whatever that means, but here I got.
I've never had a hernia. Have either of you two had a hernia?
I had a hernia. Yeah, it was brutal, to be honest.
Is it little?
What do you mean?
Is it a little thing, like?
Little hernia.
It bothers you, man. It bothers you. It's a little thing. but according to Adam Hutchinson of 4for4, he tweets, "This is potentially a huge deal. Ken Walker has a sports hernia." Or a core injury that could derail his season. If this is serious, Walker could miss several weeks, 5 to 7. If it requires surgery, you're looking at 10 plus weeks.
Yeah, sports hernias are no joke. I've never had one, like I said, but I've heard the experiences of them. It's in your internal core. I'm no doctor, but your core is pretty important.
If you don't get it fixed, oof.
Yeah,
oh, he's got to get
your
it core fixed.
For everything. Yeah. You need it for your back. You need it for your balance.
Your bow chicka wow wow.
Did you see the you seen the one where Evan got the hernia right in the challenge?
I've heard it's not fun.
Oh, I know,
dude. He was destroyed.
Yep.
No, yeah, and it's any physical activity puts pressure on it.
Sick challenge reference, though. Like, I think that
thank
might
you.
Be the first one of our podcast history. And
finally, I got it.
I absolutely love it.
Out of our 10 listeners, us three are the only ones that got it.
Maybe if Zach was listening, he would have known what we were talking
you
about.
Think
he would have done listening. The Leo DiCaprio meme, like, whoa.
For sure. But did I ask you what does this mean for Rashad Penny moving forward if Walker's out for, let's say the first 6 weeks?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we already projected Rashad Penny to get majority of the workload. So yes, this would just only increase that. Mm-hmm. But My biggest concern with Penny, just like everybody else, is the injury history. Can he sustain
that? Dude, he's got a groin issue now too, and that's not something to mess with.
I seen the update with him. You know, he was back down the practice field. He wasn't doing any preseason.
So so easy to re-injure it.
Yeah, it is so easy. But Pete Carroll did say he was going to participate. I believe it was a couple drives in the preseason game against the Bears. So we'll see how that goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they play the Bears on Thursday, which is weird. Quick turnaround for both teams. Oh, how are they going to do that in preseason?
Like, yeah, what is
that? Also, some news that we didn't throw in there.
You talking Geno? You thought Geno?
Drew Lock got COVID. He was going to be the starter. Mm-hmm. He was the projected starter for that preseason game, but
he just lost his job.
It's a possibility because Geno gets even more reps.
Pete Carroll pretty much said today too. I saw that Geno is still the guy as of right now. That if it was the week one opener, everything that
in practice is pointing towards Drew. I don't know why they keep giving him first team reps if they're like, yeah, Geno's our guy.
It's a competition. They still want to see what
he's
like.
Competition, Mike. It's still going to be a competition all the way through. Geno's just leading because he's a veteran.
If he was leading, why wouldn't he be starting then? For the preseason.
They're probably just wanting to give Drew Lock some run with the ones.
Okay, I understand that.
You know,
but he's been doing that in practice too.
Yeah, I hear you. The problem is Drew Lock, he's just not any good. We saw Geno be able to be a game manager last year and almost beat the Steelers on Sunday Night Football.
He knows how to get DK involved.
Right.
And he was a borderline game manager. I wouldn't say he was full.
DK was touchdown dependent, but he scored some touchdowns with Geno Smith. So therefore, you know, I kind of like his value a little more with Geno Smith than Drew Lock because we saw what Drew Lock did to Jerry Jeudy and Courtland Sutton. It was absolutely disgusting, man.
Hey, I mean, to be fair, they also had Vic Fangio running the offense there for quite a while.
Not running the offense, running the team, but it was Pat Shurmur-led offense, which isn't great also.
but I heard Vic was the final decision though on play calling it when it came down to it.
But yeah, let's just go ahead and jump into our main topic of the night, and we are going to go through rounds 1 through 8, go through the ADP, and Ike and Mike are each gonna give you a boom player and a bust player. So let's go ahead, let's start round one. This one might be either this is probably the easiest round, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I'll take the reins.
Honestly, this one was the toughest for me.
Really?
Oh, really? I mean, it was the easiest for you to make the bus pick because you're just, you know, you hate him already. But
I wouldn't say hate, but he's just easy to.
Hold on. Let me read ADP, you idiots. Well, at the 101,
we haven't given any names.
Really?
Got him.
At the 101, you got Jonathan Taylor. 102, Christian McCaffrey. 3 pick, Austin Eckler. Cooper Kupp is 4th. Derrick Henry is 5th. Justin Jefferson, 6th. Najee Harris is 7th. Dalvin Cook is 8th. Jamar Chase is 9th. Joe Mixon is 10th. Devontae Adams, number 11. And Stephon Diggs rounds out the top 12 in the first round. Ike, who is your boom player? Let's start there.
You could go with the obvious choice, obviously, which is Justin Jefferson, but everyone could pick him. So instead, I decided to go with Stephon Diggs because out of maybe Cooper Kupp or Justin Jefferson, he literally has the best chance of finishing as the wide receiver one in the league. So I think getting him at 12 at the very end of the first round is kind of insane when you're with the best offense. Well, one of the best offenses and one of the best quarterbacks.
Yeah, great quarterback play. Go ahead, LaPlante.
To help Ike's argument a little bit here, which I hate doing, but I'm doing it for the people. Stephon Diggs has led the league in targets the past, 2 years since he's been in Buffalo? Wouldn't surprise anybody if he ended up as the wide receiver one, just based on the volume alone. He finished his 10 with 10 receiving touchdowns last year. And even if he does regress a little bit, which probably isn't likely in that offense, he's still probably
he gets an insane amount of red zone targets too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But, I almost see a world where if he drafts Stephon Diggs in the first round, he's not going to bust unless injury happens.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I mean, I can see it a little bit if, I mean, it does happen, guys. Good segue into my boom pick here because, you know, it happened to him last year. Dalvin Cook. You can get as many red zone attempts, red zone targets, and you might just not get the touchdowns that year. He had Dalvin Cook had 15 red zone rushes within the 5-yard line. And he only cashed in on 3.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't see that happening again. And that's why I got Dalvin Cook as my boom pick here, because you're getting him at the 108. This guy was a top 3 pick last year. If he stays healthy, which that is his one bugaboo. We saw last year, though, when he comes back from it, he's stupid insane. That shoulder injury went off. But like I said, he's my boom pick here. And it could happen, like I said, with my transition. Diggs could regress a little bit, but still keep that volume to keep him in that boom category.
Yeah, I like Dalvin, man, and I like where he's going. You, and that's a steal with you, having him projected as the running back 3, him going off as the 8th player.
In PPR, yes.
So, yeah, that's very nice. Like, anything to add, or do you just want to go ahead and get
I just think they might pass more in the red zone there.
But that's a talent he has. That's a talent he has.
It's not like he'll jump off the board with, like, 8 receiving touchdowns.
I mean, why not? Austin Eckler.
No, no, 8 receiving touchdowns. You're looking at some crazy shit right there.
It's not going to tell me. Okay, he had 1 in 2020. 2019.
Like, 8 is above average for wide receivers.
You got to look at it like this way, though. They're going from a rush-heavy offense, all right, with Mike Zimmer. They're going now to that pass-heavy offense, like you said. I'm looking here at the past 3 years for Dalvin Cook. He has 1 receiving touchdown in the past. It was 1 receiving touchdown in 2019, 2020. And he had 0 in 2021. So I can only see them using
him. At least one. More. He might get at least one. Hopefully.
All right, jumping into bust now. Ike, who's your round 1 bust?
I'm going to get a lot of shit for this, but it's obviously Christian McCaffrey. Too risky for me. I'm sorry. Too risky for me. He's played in, 10 of the last 30.
You can make an argument games. He's a boom.
You could, I suppose, because when he plays, he's the best player on the field.
He is.
But he has to stay healthy. He has to, and I'd rather wait and see if he could play a full year, or even 3/4 of a year, or even half a year before I even draft him again.
But if you wait, it could bite you in the ass. He could win you your league this year if you take the risk on him with the.
But he's only going in number 2, so it's not like ain't much is changing. Like maybe if he dropped to where Cook is, where he's like 108 now, then he could be a league winner, I would assume.
There's no chance. He's a league winner if he stays healthy. It's not where he's getting picked. If he stays healthy, that's what makes him a league winner. So wherever you get him, 101, 110, anywhere in between, if he stays healthy, league winner.
Plus, we'll see a completely different offense and quarterback. We'll see. I know Baker likes to throw a running back anyways, but you never know.
But, yeah, no, it's you're basing it all off just health there, which I can get behind. It's risk-averse. All right, and mine kind of, you know, my bust has a little bit of that risk-averse element to it as well. I went with Derrick Henry here, and Derrick Henry is my guy here. He's been for the past couple of years, but he's just been a volume king. But he is coming off this injury. He looked all right in the playoff game, but nothing spectacular. He has gotten a decent amount of, like, he is the volume king the past couple of years. So it is very likely we could be seeing the downfall of Derrick Henry this year. And I just don't want to be on the back end of that.
You guys went super chalk with your bust in the first round. Hopefully,
not really. Dude, no,
like I said, round 1's tough, bro.
Hopefully.
Not really, though, because King Henry at the 105. I mean, I can get Justin Jefferson, who's safe as hell. I can get Cooper Kupp, who's safe as hell. I can get Najee Harris, who's safe as hell. I mean, you know, after that, you're getting a little bit. But if he falls to, you know, the 9, 10, 11 range. Fuck yeah, get Derrick Henry, because that's an absolute value.
Yeah, where did
it's at the 105 spot.
Where did he fall in our draft the other night? Wasn't it 107 is where Connor took him, I want to say?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Like, that's good value. If he's getting past that 1-6 range, that's great value for Derrick Henry. But if you're taking him in that 1-6 range, he's probably going to bust where you're drafting him.
I hear you. But jumping over to round two, guys, the ADP reads as this. Kelce at the 201, Swift at the 202. Debo at the 203, Nick Chubb at the 204, Elvin and the Chipmunks at 205, like we talked about, CeeDee Lamb at the 206, Aaron Jones 207, Tyreek Hill the 208, Javonte Williams at the 209, Josh Allen at the 210. No, I'm sorry, that's Keenan Allen. Keenan Allen at the 210. Mark that's Andrews karma. At the
I told you so.
And Saquon Barkley at the 212, guys, rounding it out. Ike, who is your boom player?
Alvin Kamara, because there's no chance if he plays the full season that he should be going in round two or that he finishes lower than what is he going at right now? Running back 10, which he has finished better than his whole career, even with limited opportunity as a rookie, even with missing 3 to 4 games last year, even with Drew Brees leaving and Jameis Winston going. So if he plays the full season, I think top five is even reasonable for him.
And that is Keenan Allen, guys. My apologies. Like, LaPlante, you got anything to add?
Besides, I told you so. I agree with Ike to an extent. My only extent or my one nitpick is – we talked about this before show. He's based all on efficiency. Actually, no, we talked about it during the show. I'm stupid. Beer is high alcohol content, guys. It's really good, though. his efficiency was all based off of Drew Brees. Yes, it was all right with Jameis Winston, but it wasn't what we saw with Drew Brees. So if he's based off I'm just saying, it's if he's based off efficiency, which we've seen in his past, that's all I'm saying. It's just a nitpick. It's still good value in the late, you know, second.
Middle.
I think. Or late, middle, you know, second round. I still like the value. It's just a nitpick.
Mm-hmm. LaPlante, who's your boom player?
Sean, I will have another. I got it right next to me. My boom player here, and I could have made my argument for Saquon Barkley. I know you guys know how I feel about him this year. Yeah, but I wanted to switch it up a little bit.
If you don't know how LaPlante feels about Saquon Barkley, go back to last week's episode and listen as he's talking about
drafting him at RB7.
And then just everyone harassed. Else and then everyone else is harassing him. Yeah, go back and check that out. You can find that in the
I don't know if it was RB7, Ike. I don't know about that one.
He shrugs his shoulders.
He just throws shit at a wall hoping it sticks.
Well, you can't find the draft board, so you're supposed to come back with that. So
exactly,
I'll find the draft board for you. But my I can multitask right now. So my boom pick is Aaron Jones. It's gonna seem a little bit like a homer pick here, but guys, really, you don't like it? All right,
he just said wow.
I know, and I didn't like the face he made.
Oh wow!
With Davante Adams gone. Excuse me. We have 150 plus vacated targets, and that's just from Davante Adams. We got MVS gone. He brought his 75 targets in there. We have a shitload of targets vacated, guys. I know it's a friendly term to use in fantasy football, but they got to go somewhere. Aaron Rodgers, got to trust your players or your receivers for the throw to him. I know this. You guys know this. Everybody knows this. Christian Watson hasn't been there in training camp. Can't trust him. Alan Lazard is probably the one guy in the receiving corps that they can trust. Romeo Doubs has given a little flashes. Dubs. Nothing special, though. Other than that, you got Aaron Jones.
Romeo Doobies.
There's a misconception that Aaron Jones does not get the red zone work in this offense. This is a lie. He does get red zone work. He got 8 attempts within the 5-yard line, which is only 3 less than A.J. Dillon, guys. But where he really thrives in the red zone is the passing game. And we know Aaron Rodgers likes to throw it in the red zone, 5 yards within. He'd love to do it with Davante Adams last year. I'm just saying Aaron Jones can be that new guy.
But my guy's there, man.
I understand that your guy's there, and they can both thrive.
Yeah.
Well, I agree.
Yeah, no, I agree with you, too. I just don't know how much his ceiling – how much if he can hit his ceiling.
He's scored 19 touchdowns before.
Not with A.J. Dillon being there.
I mean, he did it with Jamal Williams. I know he's no A.J. Dillon, but they still involved Jamal Williams enough in the offense like they did A.J. Dillon.
Ike, who's your bust?
The guy he was wanting to put at his boom, Saquon Barkley.
Ooh,
I know, that's why I know, said that.
I know.
Chalk.
He is injury prone, but he still played in 13 games last year.
He stepped on a guy's chalkboard, man.
And was absolutely brutal last year. I'm not going to lie. Ever since he tore his ACL and broke his ankle or whatever it was against the Bears, he looks kind of scared in the backfield, and he kind of dances around a little bit.
He is a dancer. He's always trying.
That's why he averages 3.6 yards per carry, which could be probably one of, if not the worst, among starting running backs.
So you're worried about his ACL injury, but not Chris Godwin's. Who's the more physical freak?
He's already tried returning from his ACL and it hasn't worked out. Don't know why. And it's also because
I mean, it's not that it didn't work out. Like Dylan said, he stepped on some guy's foot. That's not.
He looks scared. He looks scared.
That was last year.
Why is he dancing?
I mean, that's his play style. Yeah, that's his play style.
He's always dancing. He's trying to make a big play.
Yeah, he's not going to hit the home run every time. And that's why I don't want anything to do with him.
That's true. He may not hit the home run every time, but when he does hit that home run, he's winning you that week.
Congratulations. You can have 20 points that week for 20 carries for 80 yards, one for 60-yard touchdown.
You're forgetting that passing work he's going to get.
That he will get. That's fair enough. But
he is one of those last full workhorse backs in that round that you can get a hold of.
Should they use him as a workhorse, though?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. They probably shouldn't. They should ease off a little bit, but they don't have
okay, so who's the backup? Yeah, exactly.
Breida?
They had a good backup last year with
Breida and some goofball.
Brightwell.
They had a great backup in Devontae Booker last year. He came in and actually did good work for him. You know what they did as a thank you? Bye-bye. We got Saquon back. We're going to go sign Matt Breida for a cheap-ass contract veteran minimum. We're going to go we still had Gary Brightwell because he's a second-year guy. I mean, there is nobody behind him.
At least that's Gary Brightwell and Breida run straight to the hole.
Oh, my. Saquon, I will. I don't agree with David Gettleman much, but Saquon's a future Hall of Famer if he can stay healthy.
Right.
If he can stay healthy,
let's move on.
It's already over, bro. Ruined that 2 years ago.
Yeah, I don't see that happening.
There's no chance. I will literally bet you $1,000.
Have you seen the requirements to make the Hall of Fame lately?
No,
move
on. I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah, all the
Packers. That was blasphemy.
Go look at the Leroy Butler credentials, and that's how easy it is to get into the Hall of Fame. Suck it, Packer fans. LaPlante. Who is your bust guy?
My bust in this round is Javonte Williams. And it's just honestly based on draft value. It has nothing to do with his talent, more about his opportunity. That is fantasy football in a nutshell. Talent is up there. It's high ceiling. You can't even see it in the camera. But the opportunity is just not there. It's not good news, but positive news for Javonte's workload with the injury to Melvin Gordon. But Melvin Gordon is still going to be a force or a part of this backfield. They finished dead even last year. It's hard to see a 70-30 workload split when you have somebody like Melvin Gordon that could have signed with anybody. But he's, you know what? I'm going to go back to the Broncos because they used me. All right. So it's honestly just draft value. That's Javonte is my bust. It has nothing to do with his talent or anything else. It's just in that range, like I said, I can get a guy who has a, in my opinion, a higher ceiling with a split workload, Aaron Jones. You can get Barkley, who's a full workhorse. I know you guys have your opinions on him and whatnot. You know, you can get Kamara, who's a full workhorse. But, yeah, it's the players around him. He's just kind of going too high. That's all.
I agree on that.
Yeah, I would rather have guys like Keenan Allen, who's going after him, you know.
Maybe go wide receiver there.
Mike Evans there. Yeah, T. Higgins, who we're going to talk about it a little bit. But yeah, why don't we just go ahead and transition into round three. At the 301, we got Leonard Fournette. 302, Mike Evans. 303, now Keenan Allen, guys. No, I got it all messed up. Now Josh Allen. Holy cow.
You got to listen to me next time.
304, Ezekiel Elliott. 305, A.J. Brown. 306, James Conner. 307, Patrick Mahomes, the second quarterback off the board. 308, T. Higgins. 309, David Montgomery. The 310, Kyle Pitts. The 311, Justin Herbert. And the 312, Cam Akers. Ike, who is your boom pick of round three?
My guy, T. Higgins, man. I've talked about him in like every podcast, so I feel like I don't have to get too in depth with him.
That's why. Why did you go with somebody different?
Chalk.
I'm sorry. Yeah. If there's anything T. Higgins related in a certain round, I have to get him, because if he didn't miss those two or three games last year?
If I didn't know you were hedging all your bets.
Yeah, pretty much. Three games he missed last year, I think it was. And if he played those three games, he would have out-targeted Jamar Chase. He wouldn't have had as many yards or touchdowns. But still, he is the 1B option in the offense, maybe even the one. I don't know. It's weird. It's weird between those two.
He's one of the few receivers that you can make an actual argument that could finish as a wide receiver one as the number two option in his offense.
It's weird. Like, he could get targeted more than Jamar Chase, but Jamar Chase is number one because he's the most explosive, I guess. But
you look for volume.
It's a cool situation for sure.
Yeah, he's got the volume
this year.
I mean, going on to my boom pick here, I didn't want to be as chalk as Ike. I won't lie, because I'm being honest.
You deserve it. You deserve it, pal. Tonight.
I mean, I've been hard.
Let me pick
Mike
who
Evans.
I want, and you just sit and do whatever you're doing.
I've been harping on Mike Evans all year. I'll still harp on him, but the guy I'm talking about is Zeke in this round. Ezekiel Elliott, guys. After the PCL injury last year, I know it was ugly, but it's Dylan has stated it before. When Zeke is injured, doesn't matter. He still plays. All right.
Probably shouldn't, but
he does. Before the PCL injury, his points per game were running back one numbers. All right. After that PCL injury, things just went downhill. They started involving Tony Pollard in it a little bit more. There was offensive line struggles. I get it. It was ugly. Zeke is supposedly healthy this year. The talks of Tony Pollard are been more towards the slot. I can't see it being in the backfield taking away volume from Zeke.
I agree.
He's still going to be a guy that gets his volume. What's really going to push Zeke over the top for his ceiling is his touchdowns. And if we project this offense to be really good, he's going to get his touchdowns.
Yeah. I mean, we all know I'm in on Zeke this year. Ike, you got anything to add?
I just like Tony Pollard, but like Michael Plant said, he's more going to get the usage in the slot and receiving game. So
I did not realize this until you fuckers brought it up, but he did play – I looked up his college stats. Freshman year was wide receiver, sophomore year running back, junior year wide receiver. Then he went out to the NFL draft. He is more of a receiver than a running back.
Interesting career.
And it's a it's a starving wide receiving corpse too, man. So he could see a ton of targets.
I'm getting more behind this belief of him being used in the slot more. I really do think it's something he can actually do.
Yeah, for sure. Ike, who is your bus player of round three?
Michael Plant gave me shit for this earlier, but Cam Akers. The news of them splitting possible carries with Darrell Henderson was not good to hear, along with the fact that his injury to his Achilles is not necessarily looking great for him. He did not look good at all when he came back, that's for sure, even though they gave him a bunch of carries. And if he's going to be splitting the workload with Daryl Henderson, for him to save his RB18, he's going to have to get receiving work, and that's not going to happen. He's never seen more than four targets in a game. So, no, you can miss me with that. I don't want him.
You can miss me with that. I haven't heard that in a while.
I tend to lean with you as well. Like Michael Pittman Jr. is going after him. You know, Jalen Waddle, Terry McLaurin, you know, got Deontay Johnson. I'd just rather take a wide receiver there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But LaPlante, who is your bust of this round?
My bust of this round is, again, based on where he's going.
This surprised me.
Around him. I really don't have many shares of him. I got a couple in best ball, but it's Kyle Pitts for the Atlanta Falcons.
I like it.
Going in round three, I get it. This guy had a historical tight end season last year. He had Matt Ryan throwing him the ball. It wasn't Marcus Mariota. I know Marcus Mariota supported other tight ends in the past, but this is still a shit offense. Yep, this is still a shit offense. It's worse than that Tennessee offense with Mariota.
Mm-hmm. Same scheme.
It's still worse.
Just doesn't have Derrick Henry. Might be a big
or the offensive line. but yes, it's just based around value, where he's going, and guys around him. I mean, there's really a top two when it comes to tight ends this year. It's Mark Andrews and Travis Kelce. After that, you can probably wait.
Yeah. Dalton Schultz has every chance of finishing his tight end three.
Kyle Pitts is going to be vaulted into top 10 at least. I question top five, and it's just going to be based on volume alone.
I cannot and target see him quality, there, to be honest.
That's the thing, too.
LaPlante, I'm going to hit you back with this. You just talked about touchdown regression coming for the guys you talked about earlier, like Dalvin Cook. What's the problem with Kyle Pitts?
Better
here?
Offenses.
And Mariota's at the helm.
Better offenses, better quarterbacks.
Who might
better O-lines.
Want to run.
He's going to see at least 120 targets, guys.
Absolutely.
And he's
not arguing that.
That's why I don't like Drake London either.
Great volume guy, but I would much rather have Zeke. I'll take a guy who's going to get more volume and Keenan Allen on a better offense.
I agree.
T. Higgins, who's going to get more volume, I think.
Boom.
Again, on a better offense.
I'm
going wide receiver round one and round two, I would go Cam Akers over Kyle Pitts.
I'd be absolutely shocked if Kyle Pitts catches less than five touchdowns this season.
I'd love to take him at round four. Round five would be absolutely insane.
But that's his ceiling. He's being drafted at a ceiling, guys. That's why I don't like him. If he was being drafted more at his floor, I'd love it.
I don't think we know what his ceiling is yet, to be honest with you.
We don't, and we're not going to see it with Mariota. Sorry.
But jumping into round four now, we got Michael Pittman going off the 401, George Kittle 402, Jalen Waddle 403, Terry McLaurin 404, Antonio Gibson 405. Yuck. Deontay Johnson 406, DJ Moore 407, Josh Jacobs 408. Yuck. DK Metcalf 409. Travis Etienne at the 410, Darren Waller at the 411, and Lamar Jackson rounding out the fourth round. Ike, who is your boom player for round four?
So me and LaPlante actually have the same boom player. So if you want to take the reins on Mike, I picked him first, by the way, so you're just piggybacking. So if you want to take the reins,
off,
you can.
Give the full background. I've been on Michael Pittman all offseason, just like every other
analyst. Dap.
You're piggybacking us.
Fair enough. But yeah, you can take the reins on this one if you want.
We saw it last year with Carson Wentz. It wasn't great. He finished as a wide receiver. I want to say it was 16 in PPR. That was PPR. I think it was half PPR. It was a little bit worse. But that was with Carson Wentz, guys. Now he's got a competent quarterback in Matt Ryan. With a good offensive line to give him time to throw the ball, there's not much competition there. You got Mo Alie-Cox, Ashton Doolin, Paris Campbell, Alec Pierce.
You're telling me none of those guys are stars?
I mean, I think Nyheim Hines will probably challenge him.
Probably.
Paris Campbell season, boys. Woo! It's finally here.
We got to have Paris Campbell healthy season first.
Yeah, let's make it two.
I won't ever forget drafting him two seasons ago, or it might have been last year. I want to say it was two seasons ago. Him sitting on my bench week one and gets like 18 points and he catches a touchdown on like seven targets. I start him the very next week. He hurts his foot Sammy on the first. He hurts his foot on the first drive of the game.
He's probably the new Sammy.
We don't see him till the end of the year again. It's like
I don't even know if we can call him Sammy because Sammy's had more production in his career than Paris Campbell. But yeah, I think that me and Iker's both sold on this round that we love Michael Pittman. He's got the most upside in this round, even though he should have stuck with his brand and took DJ Moore.
I'd like to add that Matt Ryan has also produced quite a few wide receiver ones in his time. I think it might have been only last year that he hasn't. Granted, yeah. He's had Julio Jones and Kevin Ridley and Roddy White and all them, but Michael Pittman's just as good. Not, I wouldn't say as Julio Jones, but I can see him easily finishing as wide receiver one, maybe even higher for sure.
I promise you, Matt Ryan. I promise you, Matt Ryan will be better this year behind this offensive line compared
Target
to
quality is going to go way up.
You're correct.
It will.
But Ike, why don't you just go ahead and go into your bus player then?
Another easy one, which we already massively talked about during the training camp part, but that's Antonio Gibson.
Can't you put just some work skim in, that. Man?
I didn't know.
We don't even
honestly,
need to
I
talk
didn't look
about
at
it.
Training camp. Yeah, he's.
We don't even need to talk about it. LaPlante. Who's your bust?
Get off me, Ike. It's DK Metcalf.
It is what it is.
We talked about it a little bit with Drew Lock, Geno Smith. I mean, yeah, Geno Smith is all right with DK Metcalf last year, but he needed three touchdowns to be relevant.
Still saw targets.
Yeah, he still saw targets, but not the greatest targets. Plus. This is going to be a run-first offense. It was a run-first offense with Russell Wilson. I can't imagine it being more pass-heavy with Drew Lock or Geno.
True that.
I just can't. This is a dip in DK Metcalf's value this year. If you're in a dynasty league, go and trade him if you have the ability. You know, if this is a throwaway year for you, go trade DK Metcalf. Go trade for DK Metcalf.
Okay, I was going to say.
Go trade for him because he's going to be a monster for years to come when Seattle eventually gets a QB competent enough.
CJ Stroud or fucking Bryce Young. Dude, that'd be sweet.
Well, Plant, I'm just going to hit you back with this. I know you're going to tell me you'd rather have Mike Williams over him, but you can't tell me that if you're sitting there staring at Brandon Cooks and DK Metcalf, you'd rather have Brandon Cooks. It's got to give you the willies a little bit. And even
in
the next
best
guy
ball?
After, and even, no, I'm talking redraft. We're talking redraft.
That's what I know. I know.
This guy,
know,
Chris Godwin's ball, going after redraft, him. No. And like Amari Cooper and Cortland Sutton are the next wide receivers. And that's just where DK, I just feel like, has the highest ceiling out of all those guys going after him besides Mike Williams. That's why I have struggles with him being a bust where he's going, because he's going at the end of the fourth round, where last year he was probably a mid-second, you know, third-round pick. So the quarterback hit is baked into his ADP, I feel.
I don't think it's enough baked, though, because last year he finished with Russell Wilson being the injured, whatever, where he's being drafted right now. Okay. All right, so you drafted him at a ceiling last year where we had this Geno Smith experience. All right, so I agree. It's baked in there a little bit, but I don't think it's in there enough. That's all.
Okay. Let's
needs a little more sugar.
Let's jump over to round five now. J.K. Dobbins going at the 501. Elijah Mitchell at the 502. Breece Hall, 503. Mike Williams, 504. Brady Cooks, 505. Chris Godwin, 506. Kyler Murray, 507. Joe Burrow, 509. Dalton Schultz, Joe Burrow, 508. Dalton Schultz, 509. Amari Cooper at the 510. Yuck. Cortland Sutton, the 511. And Jalen Hurts, rounding out round five, guys. This is the quarterback round. We saw three quarterbacks go in this with this ADP here. Ike, who is your boom player of round five?
I don't mind Jalen Hurts there, to be honest, as your first quarterback. But for my guy, I picked Chris Godwin. Obviously, I've been talking about him a bunch of times, too. We talked about him in training camp already. Man, even if he misses two or three games like he has before, he's still going to finish wide receiver 16 or higher. I mean, he missed, two games, and this was without Tom Brady, he still finished as wide receiver two?
I'm just staying away from like major, you know, injury guys this year. Like I was high on J.K. Dobbins going into the season this year and was in this round. But it's just, it's hard to play into those guys like Saquon Barkley last year coming off that ACL injury. He wasn't that great coming off of it.
Before he got hurt,
That's,
you got
to
look
all.
At the ACL, but if he's healthy and the ACL is fine and he's with Tom Brady, he's even a wide receiver one.
It's great positive news for him, you know, the training camp and everything, participating in 7
for
out
sure.
sevens. But it's just I can see Chris Godwin's ADP rising a little bit more now because of that positive news, which is just going to bump him up even higher, which is going to maybe put
man,
him in
I'd even take him in round four.
You would, huh?
Yeah. I'm telling you, when he's healthy, he is a main weapon for Tom Brady. He finishes, he was wide receiver 7 in points per game in 2021 until he got hurt. It just depends on his ACL. It really does. If it's fine, like I said, he'll be wide receiver 1, just like with Mike Evans.
It's just it's a fast recovery for the ACL. That's my concern.
LaPlan, why don't you give us your boom player? Keep beating that dead horse.
Fuck off. At least I did some work.
What do you mean? I put together this shitty outline.
I wasn't targeting it at you.
I've been struggling to read all night.
Maybe we need to work on the speech a little bit then.
A-E-I-O-U.
We're going into Mike Williams, Hoodie. Guys. Him... You know, I got another person in here. I'll throw it, you know, a little too.
How come you don't give him shit? This is all he talks about all the time.
This is my first one.
I just
first
gave
one.
Him shit.
Good.
And I'll even give a twofer beat to give extra
twofer.
Credit.
It's beat a twofer.
Yeah, because I'm going to beat two dead horses with this because we got Cortland Sutton and Mike Williams in the same round, guys. I love the value for both these guys. I think the ceiling for both of these guys are off the charts.
Chris Godwin's going to outscore both of them.
Keep going.
Is there a bet we can make? Because
I'm keeping the train on the track.
I know we're talking about this off. We'll talk about this off the air. We're making a bet about this. But yeah, no, it's Mike Williams. He finishes at wide receiver 12 last year, right next to Keenan Allen at wide receiver 11, when he was sporadic as hell. I mean, we predict him to be a little bit more volume based this year, and you're getting a guy in the fifth round that could win you a possibility of 6 to 7 weeks.
And Lindsay 6 or 7. Keep going.
I just don't think that same losing floor that he had last year is the same this year. I think the floor has risen. Another year of the same offensive scheme. Another year of Justin Herbert getting the reins of the offense. You're telling me Justin Herbert's going to digress? Because if he only gets better, I'm sorry, Keenan Allen ain't catching more than 6 receiving touchdowns. It hasn't happened yet. 7. My apologies. He had 7 one year. So Gerald Everett, probably not going to get double digit touchdowns, which leaves Austin Eckler. He's not going to get 10 receiving touchdowns again. I mean, I just see Mike Williams. He is the most obvious candidate for a breakout this year.
Ike, who's your bus guy for round 5?
Mari Cooper. Come on. This is easy.
Just keep chalking it up.
Yeah. How can you pick anybody else? This is literally titled the person you think that's going to bust the most, and he is literally the boomer bust wide receiver known to mankind.
I mean, you can pick a guy who's my bust in that round in the running back dead zone in Breece Hall.
I don't think he's going to bust. Why would I pick him?
Can I just make your argument for you, Ike? He's never finished as a wide receiver one. You're literally drafting him at his ceiling where he's going. And
I don't know why he's going so high.
And it's looking like more
because
and more,
of Deshaun.
It's looking like more and more Deshaun's going to be suspended longer than the 6 games. I'm not going to comment any further than that. But if it's Jacoby Brissett, I literally want nothing to do with him.
No, I would take freaking
Darnell Mooney over him
by a mile. I would go farther than that
for sure. Yeah, but
I'd take Ayuk over him.
I feel like we're. All 3 of us are out on Amari Cooper, so we can go.
I'll bet you on that one. Take Brandon Ayuk, who's going in the 8th round over somebody in the 5th.
If Jacoby Brissett is playing?
I'm not far behind Ike on that one. I wouldn't rank him there, but
there's a point, there's a certain point where there's still value, guys. You look at it with Brandon Cooks last year when we had Davis Mills throwing him the ball.
But the thing Brandon Cooks has shown he can actually be consistent and play well. Mari Cooper hasn't done it with Derek Carr, Dak Prescott. Why would he do it, Jacoby or Deshaun Watson?
Brandon Cooks hasn't shown to be consistent.
I mean, more than Amari Cooper.
100% more than
Amari Cooper. Yes, but it's not like he's been, you know, like a Devontae.
And he's playing with Davis Mills and freaking.
He also played with Jared Goff. Yes, I know. I get it. I mean,
you said it.
it's still the same thing. Somebody's got to throw the ball. And somebody's got to catch the ball. Joe, just say no to Amari.
Agreed, man.
I get it. I'm just saying that even Joe knows there's a certain point where there's value and you got to take the value.
I don't know if it is for Amari.
If it was between Brandon Ayuk and Amari Cooper in the eighth round, I'm probably taking Amari Cooper because of how far he fell. I'm not taking Amari in the fifth round. My point is, if he falls to the eighth, that's value.
Just wait till he quits on you every other week.
Who would you rather have, LaPlante, Amari Cooper or your bust, Breece Hall? Amari as your wide receiver two or Breece Hall as your running back two?
Give me Breece Hall as my RB2.
Yeah. Okay.
Go ahead. Go into Breece now.
Yeah, no, it's just honestly, we're drafting him. We're drafting him at his floor, but we're also banking on the Jets offense to be good, guys. All right. I know we're trending upwards. There are still Mekhi Becton getting injured. We got Dwayne Brown in there to fill the role. It's not, you know, much of it's a downgrade, but it's better than what it was before. It's hard to see Breece Hall. If you want to talk about Saquon being on a bad offense, Saquon had more talent than Breece Hall, got drafted higher draft capital than Breece Hall, and he finished as the RB1 his rookie year. I can't see Breece Hall doing it, just plain and simple. He got drafted in the second round, but he was supposed to be good.
It's so tough because you don't know. I feel like the volume is going to be there for Breece. I really do. But then again, their offense could totally suck and it might not be there.
And he's never played an NFL snap.
But they used high draft capital on him in the second round.
Yeah.
So they're going to want
Najee Harris. You know what I mean? Like Najee was drafted first round last year and look how he got used.
That's what I mean. Yeah, I hear you, but.
Do you think they'll use him like North Carolina did with how Michael Carter and Javonte kind of? They'll have like Breece Hall be the ground and pound guy, even though Michael Carter can't catch it, wasn't on third down like
last year, whatever. Yeah, and he's not a great pass blocker, so that's tough.
Super weird situation.
I just want guys from better offenses. That's all. It's hard to. You're betting a lot, man. Going for a player on the Jets. Like, if you're getting great value, like we said with Amari, it's a different story. But in this is the meat of your draft, guys. This is where you can win it. Why take the risk on somebody like a Breece Hall when you probably have already taken the risk on somebody like maybe a Saquon Barkley, a Kyle Pitts, CMC, why add more risk to it and be a little bit more safe with these picks? Like, you can get a Brandon Cooks, and Elijah Mitchell's a safer play with the running back scarcity. I just feel like Breece Hall, you are chasing all ceiling, no floor.
I'm just worried about because he was good at Iowa State, man. What if we miss out on Kareem Hunt?
That's not even like the SEC, though.
What if we missed out on Kareem Hunt 2.0, man? Because he kind of flew under the radar when he came out of college his rookie season, and he finished.
Yeah, but he was a third round pick.
But he finished as a top 10 running back. It was granted, it was a better offense, but Breece Hall's the real deal, man. I think he's going to be a good player. The offensive line is improved. I know they lost Mekhi Becton, but they signed Dwayne Brown, and that's a huge, huge man, and he could open up some holes for that. So we'll see. But LaPlante, I agree with you to an extent, but he's someone I want a few shares of, but I'm not going out and drafting Breece Hall.
Yeah, right. I agree.
But let's move over to round six. 601 CEH. I don't love that at all. I don't like it. I hate it. quite frankly. 602 Jerry Jeudy, 603 AJ Dillon, 604 TJ Hockenson, 605 AJ Brown, 606. Why am I blanking on this, guys?
I don't know. This is why you put first initials or, you know, something in there. Harris. Oh, that's Damian Harris, buddy.
The 606, Damian Harris. Thank you, Mike. 607, Amon-Ra St. Brown. 608, Adam Thielen. 609, Allen Robinson. 610, Miles Sanders. 611, Darnell Mooney. And 612, Michael Thomas. I can go ahead and get into your boom player.
This round's actually pretty good for quite a few booms. I'm sure Mike's going to go over Michael Thomas, or if not, another player. But Michael Thomas is pretty good in this spot. But I'm going with Allen Robinson, who is on a really good offense. It kind of worries me about Stafford's 10 nights, but we can talk about that later, or not at all. But if he's taking over Robert Woods' role, why would he finish below wide receiver 24? I mean, Robert Woods was wide receiver 12 in the games he played last year, and Allen Robinson is definitely better than Robert Woods. You can't convince me that differently. So I just think you getting him at, what is it, wide receiver 28 right now? Absolutely.
You
want to
talk about a guy that gives up on you, huh?
Who cares if he gave up on the Bears? I would have too.
Yeah,
I know. I just had to throw that in there.
Matt Nagy is your coach.
You just hope he doesn't give up on you, because we've seen it. He's done it before.
No chance he does.
I agree with you, Ike, everything you said. If I don't have Cooper Kupp, I'm taking Allen Robinson where I can get him.
Hell yeah.
But LaPlante.
No, it's a good pick.
Go ahead. Yeah, why don't you just go ahead and give us your boom guy for round six?
Ike was right on the money, and I've been on this all off season, and you guys are finally jumping on the bandwagon with me because of all the positive reports. But Michael Thomas.
I'm not on the bandwagon.
You're still not going to draft him anywhere, even though everything's pointing towards him starting week one.
I've planted my flag, man. I'm going down with the ship. If I'm
you have to at some point.
Yeah, if I'm the captain of the Titanic, I'm going down with it. And Mike Thomas is my Titanic. Yep.
I mean, it's
great
fair.
Great movie, by the way. Great.
Ike. I get that. I get that reference. I get everything you want to do with it. I just don't look at those. There, if you're going to plant your flag and really going to be a hot take, it's got to be, you know, someone going earlier than the round six. Because in round six, you're getting somebody in Michael Thomas who could be the number, well, not could be, who is the number one option in that offense. You're getting the last guy in this round of possible 90 to 100 receptions. Because, I mean, can you see Allen Robinson getting 90 to 100 receptions?
I mean, you want to talk about who quit on team.
Yeah, I mean, he was injured. I honestly couldn't see him get 80 receptions, to be honest.
He's going to be fine. Michael Thomas is going to be fine.
I don't blame him for not wanting to play with an injury because that's his career. That's all.
He's fine. He's going to be good for sure.
Yep. But, I mean, we can move. I didn't even see Joe's comments here. Love Allen Robinson this year. Best situation in his career by a lot.
Mm-hmm.
How dare you talk about Nick Foles like that? AJ would be ashamed.
Yeah, he would. But Ike, why don't you give us your bus player of round six?
Miles Sanders. He's washed now, guys. Don't even.
Oh my God.
I mean, we've
run through all the chalk plays.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Watch was a little much, but I mean, he did average 5.2 yards per carry, whatever, last year. So he's a good runner. I just don't think he's going to get the touchdowns with Jalen Hurts now factor. He's going to lose carries to Kenneth Gainwell. He's got injury problems. I mean, he wasn't necessarily the most active in the receiving game. Yeah, I don't want him. I'm sorry.
Ike, you left out the biggest part. He told you not to draft him.
That too. I was say, hey, don't draft me. All right, fair enough.
He's out. He's out. He's out. He's out.
Fair enough.
I think
I'd rather take a wide receiver.
Yeah, we're all out on Miles Sanders, the plan. So why don't you give us your bust in round six?
My bust in round six. Now you can make an argument either way here, but I am fully planting my flag, like you said. On Adam Thielen.
It's not his name.
What? Adam Thielen.
And touchdown Thielen.
Adam, all Adam he does is catch touchdowns Thielen. There it is.
You know, eventually he's not going to be able to catch those touchdowns. There is an age regression that happens with wide receivers, especially ones that continue to have injury history at their age. I like you said, he only touches touchdowns. You can get somebody like a Michael Thomas here who's going to get plenty of volume. Darnell Mooney, plenty of volume. Allen Robinson, plenty of volume. The only one you could probably make an argument here for is Monroe St. Brown, but even he saw more volume last year.
To be fair, yeah. I'd rather have all them guys over Adam Thielen. Yeah,
agreed.
Being honest with you,
it's all touchdown. You're betting on touchdowns here, and it's just you can't bet on touchdowns, guys. It's fantasy football, and the one thing you can't predict is touchdowns. I try to, and I'm probably going to be wrong.
Yeah, I hear you. But let's. I think we could just go ahead and jump into round seven now. 701 DeAndre Johnny Hopkins, 702 Hunter Renfro, 703 Gabe Davis, 704 Dak Prescott, 705 Dallas Goedert, 706 Tom Brady, 707 Kareem Hunt, 708 Cordarrelle Patterson,
Corduroy,
709 Devin Singletary, 710 Tony Pollard, 711 Open All Night. Let's ride Russell Wilson at 712. I was going to say something about the expo, but 712, Aaron Rodgers rounds out the seventh round, LaPlante's guy. That's all I'm going to say. Ike, who is your boom player of round seven?
My bad. I was muted. Tom Brady. I was coughing.
First time on a podcast? Or what?
I was coughing and you went to me.
First time drinking.
If you were a producer, you would see that LaPlante was ready.
Good thing I'm not the producer.
Or the host, whatever it is. But yeah, it's Tom Brady.
I'm not much of a host tonight. I can't talk or read. Yeah, so.
Apparently. Or even go to someone different when they're coughing. And I'm mute. But Tom Brady.
In his defense, how can he hear you coughing if you're muted?
Well, he should be able to see the little sign up there that says muted.
But go on. What about Tom Brady you like so much?
Ever since joining Tom Brady, he has literally outperformed where he's being drafted right now.
Joining Tom Brady?
Tampa Bay
Buccaneers.
The Tom Brady Buccaneers, pretty much.
There you go.
Remember when I asked you if you were still hungover / drunk at the top of the podcast?
It's still around here. But yeah, he's never finished lower than where he's being drafted quarterback 9, and he's finished 7-3 with Tampa Bay. So why would he go down with better weapons? It doesn't make sense to me. Never will. I'd take Tom Brady over a multitude of quarterbacks now.
I mean, he could go down, man. He led the league in passing with.
Yep.
Why would that change though?
It might not, but like it's the same thing with Cooper Kupp. Is he going to repeat the season that he just had? Probably not. It could happen, maybe, but I'm going to lean probably not. Brady could.
He's going to outperform quarterback 9 for sure.
I agree. And
the one thing I would be concerned about is you're looking at a pocket passer, one of the last of his kind. All right, and we're seeing his offensive line drop like flies in the preseason.
That's one thing to worry about.
Yeah, this is a good point, LaPlante. This is the best point you've made all night.
I'm surprised it's not my whole life.
But he is the master of getting the ball out when he needs to, so he doesn't take the hit, so I'm not worried about it.
Yeah, he's the master of throwing the ball away to someone who's, you know, because he doesn't want to take that sack. He's smart.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no shit.
He's not going to throw the ball up.
No, LaPlante, he still does.
LaPlante, who's your boom guy for round seven?
You're going to love me, Dylan. It's Gabriel Davis.
I like it. Round seven's fine, man. It's just where he was going at best ball was totally shaky. Jake,
that was getting wild, bro.
Yeah.
It's stupid how high he's going in best ball. I get the hype behind it, but round seven, that's great value. You're looking at a guy, now I'll be 100% honest with you. The one thing I am concerned about Gabe Davis is the consistency. I can see him having a Mike Williams-esque season like we saw last year. I think his ceiling is a possible wide receiver one. Best case scenario, 12, like Mike Williams saw last year. And if the stars align and the prophecy is fulfilled,
Diggs would have to go down.
Well, I'm saying that's good. It's that good of an offense, guys.
Diggs would have to go down. I'm sorry.
If the rushing goes down for Josh Allen, I can see the passing efficiency go up. Which, I mean, if Josh Allen is getting older, he wants to cut down on the rushing. I mean, it happens. I'm not predicting anything. I'm just – this is an outcome that can happen.
I can't be out here. What happens if Dawson Knox gets his touchdowns cut in half and, you know, three or four of those go to Gabe Davis or something? You know what I mean?
Makes you think they're going to go Gabe Davis, who's been averaging 6 to 8 touchdowns his whole career pretty much?
He's the red zone threat.
Because exactly. They did not sign anybody to be that number two.
He's been a red zone threat his whole career, and he hasn't been on the field. Why would he not be a red zone threat when he's on the field now?
Well, if he's probably due for touchdown regression if you're going to get 6 to 8 every year. I mean, yes, he's going to be on the field more. It just means people are going to be covering him more.
There's going to be more volume is the point I'm getting at. I just don't see Dawson Knox catching all those touchdowns.
No, Dawson Knox is going to catch all of them.
But, Dawson Knox caught 9 or 10 touchdowns on, like, stupid efficiency like Bob. Not as good as Bob Tonyan did that 1 year, but somewhere similar. So, yeah.
You're looking at essentially, if you want to call it this, and no one's, you know, hoping for any injuries anywhere, but if Stephon Diggs gets injured, man, Gabriel Davis, can you imagine what he skyrockets to?
See, I still don't think he's an alpha wide receiver, so I don't think he
is. You score 4 touchdowns in a game against the Chiefs, and you don't think he's an alpha?
I don't. Why wasn't he drafted like one then?
Devontae wasn't drafted as an alpha wide receiver. He sure as hell wasn't an alpha wide receiver in his first couple of years in Green Bay.
Saw a lot more than 60 targets in the game.
Until
the
he season. Was. But I'm just saying.
You got to let Ike plant his flag where he does, and it's on Gabriel Davis. He doesn't like him.
It is. I just think that where he's going, it's good value.
I do want to say one thing to like the people that are listening. Wide receiver one's probably a little bit too high for him for his highest outcome. That's a little bit of a stretch.
If Stephon Diggs gets injured, it's absolutely.
You're literally. I still don't be drafting him like that.
You're telling me who's the number one target if Stephon Diggs gets injured?
Probably Josh Allen running.
Is it Jamison Crowder? Is it Isaiah McKenzie?
I literally just said it's probably Josh Allen.
Is it Khalil Shakur? It's not.
Are you not listening to me? It's Josh Allen running.
I am listening to you. It's not going to be Josh Allen. He's not Lamar Jackson. I'm sorry. He only runs really when he needs to and in the red zone. Lamar Jackson does it because it's a part of his game. Josh Allen does it because it's a last resort.
I hear you. Ike, who's your bust player round 7?
We both have the same bust player, so we can just kind of go through this.
Cordero.
All right, hit it.
Yeah, it's Corduroy Patterson.
You got to put some respect on his name after the season he put up last year, man.
Yeah, I mean, if there was a plaque or a trophy for, you know, 8th-year breakout for a wide receiver / running back, he would have gotten it. He gives us hope for, you know, let's say, oh, God damn, his name is blanking on me. Who's the wide receiver in New Orleans that we've been hoping for a 5th-year breakout?
Traquan Smith.
Thank you. He gives him hope, I guess, if you want to look at it. Cordarrelle Patterson, he was all based off of touchdown. He was just insane with his touchdowns last year. His volume was
A lot more rushing attempts than he should have.
Yep, he got a lot more everything than probably he should have, and it was because of the lack of talent on that offense. And now, granted, the lack of talent is still there. I just can't see Cordell's, you know, holding up for a full season. We saw it last year. He broke down late.
He's going around Tony Pollard, Kareem Hunt, and Devin Singletary, and I would rather have all of them.
Atlanta's offense is probably one of those offenses I want to stay clear of this year.
Yeah, everybody but Kyle Pitts, man. but got it around 8.
Last I said I wanted to stay away from Kyle Pitts.
The 801, Juju Smith-Schuster. The 802, Rashad Petty. The 803, Elijah Moore. 804, Devonta Smith. 805, Matthew Stafford. The 806, Tyler Lockett. 807, Zach Ertz. 808, Rashad Bateman. 809, Chase Edmonds. 810, Dawson Knox. 811, Brandon Ayuk. And the 812, Drake London. Ike, for the final time tonight, give us your boom player.
Michael Plant gave me shit on this earlier, but Brandon Ayuk's my guy.
I didn't give you too much shit.
Surprisingly, him and Trey Lance look like they're building quite the chemistry together.
I know. Yep, so that's really cool to see.
I don't know. I've always been the believer, like a lot of people have been saying, that as soon as Trey Lance gets into the starting job, that this just means really good news for IU because it's going to open him up to deeper routes and all that. So that's just what I'm going with. I'll draft him probably a round earlier than where he's going now. I like him a lot. I think he'll be – I'm not going to go super far, but top 30 wide receiver for sure.
We finally found out why Ayuk was in Shanahan's doghouse last year. Shanahan pretty much said that his preparation coming into this season is what it needed to be now. So he's going to be treated how he should be treated. And that's I really like his ceiling this season, man, as the big play threat in that offense, as kind of the deep ball guy, good route runner. I know LaPlante, I'm sure you're going to butt in with Debo as the big play guy, but he's going to be someone who's going to get the ball around the line of scrimmage and stuff. And like I said, he's alluding to those two already have a good connection built up from this offseason. And Debo hasn't really been able to practice with Trey Lance until this past week when his contract was finally his contract dispute was finally put to rest when he got his extension. So I like this a lot.
My nitpick is more towards George Kittle. It's really Debo. It's more realistically talent wise in this offense. Ayuk is the third option behind Debo and Kittle.
I'm like, I don't see it though, but just because the way they use Kittle as a run blocker and everything in this offense, I don't see him being anything more than the red zone option.
I'm willing to argue that before Debo came around, this offense ran through Kittle.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Now that Debo's around, he's kind of passed the reins a little bit. But
that's Kittle's also constantly hurt.
That's the thing. If Kittle...
There's a reason they drafted Ayuk.
If Kittle remains to be injury-prone, Ayuk's going to be a steal. But I think if Kittle can stay healthy, it's going to eat into Ayuk's volume a little bit, which we already predict this offense to pass a little bit less with Trey Lance at the helm compared to Jimmy G. We expect this defense to be really good. Shanahan, with his defense, likes to run the ball. Trey Lance is going to be taking away passing attempts with his scrambling. It's just a lot working against Ayuk. That's all.
I hear you. I get it.
So I can absolutely see the boom there. You know, Kittle, if he's been doing what he's passed a couple of years, Ayuk's the number two option in that offense.
I mean, shit, wide receiver 39 is a little
Trey Lance. I'm projecting Trey Lance to be a QB1 this year, and it's one of those cases he can throw it and run the ball, and if he's throwing it, it could be Brandon Ayuk, absolutely.
Hell, he can even throw more than we think he will.
Yep.
He's got a nice arm.
It's good value in the eighth round. You're getting a projected – great offense. It's just a matter of the volume that scares me. Yeah, but I'll jump into my boom guy here. I beat you to it, Dylan. And I'm going with Juju Smith-Schuster here from the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, round eight, you're getting a guy who is the projected number one wide receiver, not the target, the wide receiver in this offense. We had a good talk about this before the show. You know, everyone gives Juju smack and shit because, you know, he only produced with Antonio Brown around him taking double coverage and whatnot. Travis Kelce's that guy. He deserves double coverage in the middle of the field. And if that's the case, Juju Smith-Schuster is going to get the single coverage that he shines on. And you got Patrick Mahomes, a future Hall of Famer, throwing him the ball. It's a combination for success.
Yeah. Yeah, like you said, you already mentioned that the only thing I'm really going to push back on is we haven't seen Juju do it since he was paired next to Antonio Brown. And
with Big Ben throwing him the ball in the backstage of his career, I mean, that does play an effect. We always talk about, you know, wide receiver has to be paired with a good quarterback. This is the reason why we're kind of down on Davante Adams this year. You know, he's not that number one wide receiver anymore because he doesn't have Aaron Rodgers throwing him the ball. So it does play into that effect. Now that you got huge upgrade at quarterback.
Someone's got to get the other 400 plus targets.
But like, I'm going to throw it back at you here. Like, you always say this, what does a great quarterback like to do though?
Spread the ball.
That's true. And I think you get a target here. You get a target here. You get a target here. Travis Kelce gets 8 targets here. You know, I think that it could be, you know, something similar like that. And we could only be seeing Juju, you know, getting 5-6 targets a game. And if he's only converting on 3 or 4 of them, how much is he really doing?
If Mahomes is throwing it 30 attempts a game and Kelsey's only getting it 8, I can see Juju getting 8 also.
What if he loses his main role to Sky Moore, though? That probably won't happen, but I've just been hearing Sky Moore has been pretty solid.
Juju's gotten the rep of being a slot receiver. The reason he was a slot receiver is because he was paired with Antonio Brown. All right? If Travis Kelce is in the slot, he's not going to be able to take that position, all right, which means he's got to line up outside. And if Travis Kelce is getting the double coverage in the slot position, that means he does not have a safety over the top. And you have Mahomes.
He ain't got burning speed.
He's got catching ability, possession catchability. We've seen it.
Okay. We'll see. I just question his ceiling. I get it. Quarterback.
You question his ceiling being on the Chiefs?
I do question his ceiling just because we haven't seen it, man, in 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, but you got to play into effect with this quarterback throwing him the ball. We saw Big Ben.
I get that. I kind of already outlined my thinking with everyone kind of getting some targets in the offense and them just kind of spreading the ball around between everybody. But
yep, you're right. It's just 400, you know, 300 plus targets is a lot to spread.
Yeah, I hear you. But Ike, why don't you give us your last bust of the night?
This one pains me to say because I was so high on earlier.
Surprise me.
Rashad Penny, unfortunately.
Does it pain you paying the amount of money you did in the?
I don't want to talk about it. Don't even.
I'm just gonna throttle you, week one.
I don't even know what to think now because one report saying Kenneth Walker is gonna play significantly, maybe as much carries or whatever
for him.
And then one minute he's now got a hernia, so Penny is gonna get all the carries, but then he's also got a groin injury, so. I'm looking towards just not, it's not worth the headache. It really isn't, I don't think.
The problem is we saw Penny Sealing last season. If he can freaking stay healthy, we saw him behind a crap offensive line put up the numbers he put
He's
up.
He's good, man. Season. He's good.
I know, and we saw why he was yeah. drafted in the first round. You know, they didn't pick his fifth-year option up, so you know he's going to try to put something together. I want him to put something together. I'm just with you. I don't know if he's going to be able to. Be able to stay healthy. This offense could turn into a shit show real quick.
Talk about weird ass situation
with injuries. Totally.
Yeah, he's a great. I know we focus mainly on redraft, so redraft. I'm really kind of staying away from Rashard Penny unless you go that zero RB method. But he's a great best ball get. I think.
Sure.
I know I keep talking best ball, but like I said, redraft. I'm probably staying because a lot of people play best ball, man. And this is around those best ball, you know, drafting times, but redraft, I'm agreeing with you. It's just too much of a headache. Like, why do you want somebody with such a variance of outcomes on your team? Like, yeah, he could absolutely win you the league if he stays healthy for all 12, you know, 16 games, but he hasn't done it once in his 4-year career.
Yeah. Yep. LaPlante, why don't you give us your last bust here?
Someone from the same offense. I busted on DK Metcalf. I'm busting on this whole damn Seattle offense.
Just busting everywhere.
Take it easy.
I don't think it's a good offense, guys. I personally think Pete Carroll's a little outdated here. That's just my opinion. But we saw it. You had a Hall of Fame quarterback in Russell Wilson. And he's like, nah, I just want to run the ball. Man, let's just run the ball.
We
don't need Russell Wilson. Exactly. It's what they do. So if we're going to project for a wide receiver two on this offense to be good with Drew Lock and Geno Smith throwing him the ball when he still had his consistency issues with a Hall of Fame quarterback, I'm out on Tyler Lockett this year.
Yeah, he's not someone I'm interested in either. Lockett's a receiver who needs the chemistry with his quarterback, I feel. And that's really all we've seen because some of the catches he made – on like broken plays that Russ would be able to find him on were just insane. And we're just not going to see that with Geno Smith. I like DK so much better than I like Tyler Lockett with Geno Smith.
Agreed.
I like him more, but I'm not going
out
and getting
you're
DK.
You're still out on DK. I'm not completely out.
I'm not completely out on DK. It's just I'm not going out and be like, yeah, that's the guy I want this year because of his value.
See, this like might be a wild comparison, but it's not that wild because we know how good DK is. We've seen wide receivers put up good seasons with bad quarterback play. DJ Chark more recently. You know, we saw Josh Gordon when he put up that absurd season that he did with the Browns, man. He had Brandon Whedon. He had – who was the other super – Brian Hoyer?
Yeah, I think it was Hoyer.
There was a couple other goofballs that were throwing him the ball that season, and it just didn't matter. But, yeah, I didn't
really I get
go
that.
On that tangent about
no,
that
you're fine. And it, you're right. It's a talent thing, which he has, but it's also an opportunity. And his opportunity is he has Drew Lock and Geno Smith throwing him the ball.
Okay. Yeah, I hear you. But, yeah, let's wrap it up. We've got an hour and a half. That's it's entirely too long, but I enjoy talking.
All I'm going to say is we could have probably cut off an easy 10 minutes if we didn't have to go through all the, saying all the things that you fucked up, Dylan.
10 minutes might be pushing it a little
bit. I'm just kidding.
I hear you guys. But, yeah, if you like what you heard, please go over to the Fantasy Six Pack YouTube channel and click that subscribe button. We really appreciate it. There's a lot of cool stuff going on there. We got the Fantasy Edges back with Richard Seville and Dennis Sosik. You know, Joe's podcast is every Thursday, the Fantasy Six Pack Hour with Joe Bond, AJ Apgarth. You're producing. There's just, guys, we're getting in the heart of the football season. So we're just pumping out a ton of content.
Oh, so much.
And then I also, Adam Stark is also coming back with his podcast. So we got stuff flying in. So
did you mention Dave?
Dave Eddie doing his baseball stuff, and it's going to transition into some football stuff too.
Yep, he's doing our DFS work with football. So, man, there's just, I mean, we could go on and on about the content right now. We're getting ready for you guys.
Yep, and all the writing content that Ike's putting in and everybody else, and, just go check it out. We really appreciate it. And while you're checking it out, check out the plans package we got. Like I said, for $10 a month, you get a whole bunch of stuff like the cheat sheet, our rankings, join the Discord. Just come hang out with us, guys. It's a great time. Talk some football, and we're there to help you win your drafts. And with the guy, not to sound cocky, but with the guys that we have on staff with us, not even myself, everyone else, man, they know their fantasy football, I promise you.
They've won a lot of leagues.
Yep. Yeah, you can follow Michael Plant at @BLike_Mike with two eyes. You can follow Mike Bonney at @Ike2121. You can follow me at @DClemens2222. And we will be back next week, probably with a draft of some sort. Maybe we do an underdog draft. Maybe we do a super flex mock draft we haven't done yet. We'll keep you on your toes, but we'll be back with some sort of draft next week. But until then, guys, we will talk to you later.
See ya.